Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
You know, there's been a lot in the news and in all the online platforms about the COVID-19 virus. In the U.S., the sort of center has been sort of the Seattle area. There are a number of churches, including one led by a friend and colleague of mine, who are not holding worship services today. They're doing online worship for the first time today. We're doing online worship not for the first time, and I expect that there are likely some folks joining us online today for a number of reasons, including maybe trying to avoid being in large crowds, particularly if you are yourself susceptible to some of the extenuating circumstances or in regular close contact with someone who might be particularly susceptible for some of those reasons. And as a part of that and trying to be cautious around that, I spent some time this week thinking about, well, maybe, you know, we in Lent we're celebrating communion every week. Maybe there's a different way we can celebrate communion. And someone sent me a link maybe to purchase, instead of dipping our bread in the cup, maybe we ought to return maybe for a short period of time to those little cups, right? But I wanted to be environmentally responsible, so the person sent me a link for ones that are biodegradable instead of plastic. They're sold out. I can't get them. And so then I thought, well, at least I'm going to go to a Costco or maybe a dollar store and get some hand sanitizer, some holy hand sanitizer, of course, so that we can maybe take advantage of that before we share in Holy Communion. Everybody is sold out. Amazon is nearly sold out. The only vendors on even Amazon that I can find a hand sanitizer from have like ridiculously inflated prices. So it's good. We have some today. Don't worry. If you're concerned about that, we had some around the church because we use it for some other things. So, but it occurred to me. It occurred to me how like I was really worried about this for a while. And then it struck me, particularly as I was putting that together in preparation for what we're exploring today in our sermon time, in our message time, is that that's a scarcity mindset. We're so fearful about running out. Mavi and I talked about this morning, that people are going to the store and not buying just the hand sanitizer they need, they're buying the extra, right? Grabbing everything they can. It's mysterious to me why all the stores I went to are also out of toilet paper. But that's the case. And bottled water. It's like we're expecting the zombie apocalypse. But that's that same mindset, that scarcity mindset. I'm guilty of it too in a number of ways. I'm particularly guilty of that kind of scarcity mindset, partly when it comes to money. I'd like to say I learned my frugality from my dad, but maybe it's more extreme than that. But also when it comes to time, I feel like I run out of time. If I could have days with 28, 29, 30 hours, that would be better for me, but that's just not the way it works. Like I said, I'm guilty of those things too, and maybe we can all express or recognize sometimes where we feel that we wrestle with scarcity. But perhaps, yes. More people are doing what?
Prevention.
Oh yeah, more people are participating in prevention. Yeah, that's good. And Almost every instruction out there says, wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Hold on, one more. Wash your hands. Good. And not just a quick wash, right? 20 seconds. The amount of time, what did we say last week? The amount of time it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. Okay? Pay particular attention to wash the back of your hands between your fingers and under your fingernails. Wash your hands. Good. That's your best thing. When it comes to that sort of scarcity mindset, even in things that we talk about as unlimited aren't. My cell phone company sold me on this unlimited plan that's not unlimited. Right? Well, it's unlimited unless I'm in a crowd, and then it slows down a lot. Right? I'm particularly interested in the office. We're exploring whether or not to replace our copier, and one of the companies that we're talking about has unlimited copies. Not unlimited paper. We have to buy the paper, but in terms of toner and all that stuff, unlimited. So we're thinking about that. I don't know if we're going to do that, but that'd be interesting. I'm looking for the catch because, again, I'm a little bit bought into that scarcity mindset. But perhaps there's another way. And particularly, I mean, yes, we have limited resources on the planet, and we need to be careful and conserve, and we need to care for the environment. But perhaps there are particular ways where we must remove the idea of a scarcity mindset, because in some of the ways where it's good to conserve, we place that scarcity mindset where we shouldn't. And I suggest that one of those places is on the essence and spirit of God's love. Don't we sometimes have a tendency to say, well, listen, God loves these people, but not those people, as if there's not enough. There's a meme that's not necessarily related to faith and spirituality. It's actually about human rights, but it sort of applies in this case, right? Equal rights for this group doesn't mean less rights for that group, right? The meme says it's not pie. God's love for one group of people does not mean that God loves another group of people less. God's love is not pie. And I'd like for us to explore a scripture that can help us see this in a particular way. It's a scripture that will likely sound familiar to us. It's in both the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke, although it's known by different names. I invite you now to hear as Bill reads from the Gospel of Luke.
This is from Luke 6:27 to 38 from the Common English Bible. Behaving as God's children. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you'll have a great reward. You'll be acting the way the children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you'll be forgiven. Give, and it'll be given to you. A good portion, packed down firmly, shaken and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return.
I mentioned that this pericope, this section, is in both the Gospel of Matthew and in the Gospel of Luke. It's interesting, it's not in Mark, which scholars would suggest is the earliest gospel written, but because of the similarities between Luke and Matthew, the common academic sense is that this is from the Q source, right? The unknown source that both Mark, Matthew, and Luke based their writings on. But there are some interesting differences. See, because in the Gospel of Matthew, this is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Sounds familiar. But in the Gospel of Luke, this is known as the Sermon on the Plain. See, In the Gospel of Matthew, it says that Jesus went up onto an elevated area to preach. In the Gospel of Luke, it says he went to a flat space. And it's interesting, the way that Luke framed this seems, I wasn't really aware of this until preparing for today. It seems as though Luke's framing of this is connected with the way Luke frames a number of things throughout this gospel. You might remember that it is the Gospel of Luke that gives us some of the early narratives about Jesus, but even before Jesus, the conversation about John the Baptist. And what did John the Baptist say was important about the coming Messiah? That the mountains would be brought low, that the valleys will be made level, right? That the pathways will be made not crooked. Well, you know, some people say straight, but, you know, I'm aware that maybe that's not the right word for everybody. But the pathways will have those curves and things removed. Luke, the author of the Gospel of Luke, seems to prioritize the idea of us all being on the same playing field. Being, we might say, equal with one another, on the same footing. It's not like that pyramid structure that we talked about last week. Remember, we talked about last week when if we identify God as somewhere up in the sky, then, you know, that pyramid structure of just a very few at the top, that implies that those are the folks who are closer to God, and maybe that's not the right way to think about where God is, because it tells us some theologically difficult things about who God is. But if we think of a God who is in all places, then maybe this flat structure makes more sense theologically. We might see that this is why Luke places this important message on a plane. But then the message itself supports this idea of plenty over scarcity. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. Because there is not an end to God's love. It's like that song, "Love is something if you give it away." Do you know the song I'm talking? "Love is something if you give it away, give it away, give it," right? It's a magic penny. You know the song now? It's just like a magic penny. Good. Because it's like that. It's like that idea of something that continues to overflow within you and within us. We don't have to allow our fears of the scarcity of the world to infect our understanding of God's infinite love. But even further, and this is in part what I think this gospel reminds us of, not only can we choose to not allow the scarcity of the world to change our idea of God's infinite love, what we can do is we can allow the presence of God's infinite love to allow us to change our perception of the world. If we do this, we might love more, yes, even those who persecute us. We might even turn the other cheek toward one who does us wrong. We might love those who would condemn us. We might even lend to those with no expectation of return. Why? Because God's grace and God's love continually overflow. I want to tell you a very quick story about something that happened just out here on the road on Friday night. There was a young lady, I'm told that she's 27 years old, who was struck by a car and thrown. You may know that we have an overnight security guard here at the church who heard what happened and went out into the road. It is my assertion that he saved her life. Because even wearing a reflective coat, cars couldn't see and almost hit him as well. And yet he placed himself in harm's way to protect this young lady until police and ambulance and fire arrived. This is a sense of celebrating and even recognizing God's infinite grace and presence. Now, I'm not encouraging us all to put ourselves in harm's way, but this is an example of someone who lives this way. We received word just yesterday that the young lady lived because we were concerned that she didn't. I've already got on our prayer card. We will lift her up in prayer later in this worship service. When I go to camp, which is something that changes me every single year, one of the things that I love the most is the first time youth gather around a table. Because there is particular community and love and care and connection that takes place around the table. We're exploring this idea of gratitude by the book by Diana Butler Bass, Grateful. And it's one of the things that she frames throughout this book is the idea of God's love illustrated around a table. When we think about God's love illustrated around a table, we might even think about it as God's love illustrated around a communion table. Who are we to say that there are fewer people who are welcome at this table? No, God's love is infinite and all-encompassing. If we are to acknowledge that God's love is for all people, then perhaps we need a bigger table, not a smaller one. It's a table of gifts. Of symbols of God's love. God's love never, never ends. Let us, my friends, allow this illustration of God's unending love help us to change the way we view the rest of the world. And for this, we can be grateful. Amen. Friends, let's continue in the spirit of prayer. Holy God, we are grateful for your spirit that falls on us, that fills in the places that we feel may be damaged or broken, and reminds us that we are whole in you. God, thank you for drawing us to this place, even when we lost an hour of sleep, so that we might experience community and that we might know your profound and life-changing love. God, we lift up the prayers of this community. God, we lift up all of these prayers and any that are left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, our Christ, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.